Turning back to Luke's Gospel in chapter 4 then, and we'll just bow our heads in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee asking Thy help in the preaching of Thy word. Much needed help, much needed grace. And Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt indeed grant, Lord, utterance. Grant, Lord, that the message might go forth in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost to the glory of God alone. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 4, I want to leave it before you in three simple headings tonight. The first one is, I want you to look at the grueling test. The grueling test. The idea that when you're at the center of God's will, and some of these Pentecostal denominations, no trouble, it seems, will be allowed to cross your path. And of course, it's seen to be a falsehood. Because here we have the one who knew no sin, neither did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And he is full of the Holy Ghost. And here we have the Spirit of the living God leading him out into the wilderness, led by the Spirit in that perfect fullness to face this challenge and these temptations of the devil. And there, 40 days, we're told, tempted of the devil, being tested, challenged, probed, and any way possible, the enemy seeking a way in upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for some sign, some crack in the armor, some weakness in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that the devil, led before him this invitation, focusing upon the natural needs, the desires of the body. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. You can see what he's angling at. You can see how subtle the devil is. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14 and verse 30 that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Not a foothold. Not a thing to work upon. Now, of course, for each one of us here tonight, that is not the case. For each one of us here tonight, there has been a suggestion from the prince of this world which has lodged, something which has attracted attention. Yes, whether it be through the eyes, through the ears, there's something, some suggestion that Satan has made which has hit a spot, a soft spot, got through the armor, as it were, and has had an effect upon us. Some people, it's the lust for wealth. They just can't avoid the chasing after that thing. Status in society, some people. Authority. Some people, it's the lust of the flesh, of another individual or after another individual. Some people, it's the love of self. Like Narcissus, the Greek myth there, concerning the young man who just couldn't stop looking at himself and his reflection in the mirror. Fascination with oneself. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that there was nothing, nothing for Satan to lay hold upon. But of course, that doesn't stop him from trying, from having a go. And knowing that the chosen one has needs as a natural man, he comes with the vilest intention, seeking to lay before him the invitation to meet the natural cry of his stomach. I don't think that here tonight that we could identify, I know I certainly can't after the dinner I've had today, I can't identify with the power of that suggestion to a very hungry man, even in his sinless perfection, that he should meet the natural requirement of his body for food. But of course, it is his heavenly Father who has given the commandment that he is to suspend his appetite and to go through this trial. This to me is the most challenging of the temptations that the Lord faced. How many of us have been given an invitation to touch something, to go to something, to have a part in something, and we've went with the desire. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that he calmly quoted the scriptures. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, realizing as the Lord of glory that the physical needs are of far lesser importance. But each and every one of us that lay herein lies a window into all of humankind's continued source of failure towards our Creator and towards our God, because we adore the physical world, many of us. And there's so much of it that takes our fancy, and it leads us to, leads many to a rejection completely of the Word of God, leads others to twist it and to pervert the Word of God and to try and make things acceptable which in the Word of God are not acceptable. Christ, though, plainly declares absolute authority is placed upon the revealed Word. And it's plain, simple reading. And he is determined to live as God requires and reveals in his word. The devil, then we're told, taking him in verse 5, up into an high mountain. Now here's the Son of God, and he's allowing himself to be transported to this place. Now, whether he went on foot into this exceeding high mountain, or whether the devil, as he did, taking him onto the pinnacle of the temple, transported him there in some supernatural fashion. But here we have the Lord Jesus allowing himself to be taken under the command of his Father to this place. All so that God's will, that Christ be revealed to his people in the scriptures and to be recorded for us. Here is Christ. He's going with Satan to this place to face this challenge. And while he's up there, it says, in a moment of time. The power that Satan has, the ability that he has, in a moment of time, just in a poof, it says that he flashes up before the Lord Jesus. He showed unto him, it says, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's incredible. This is the enemy that we are dealing with tonight. If any of you have any doubts about his ability or his power, here is this figure who, long before we've had the technology of, you know, the internet and all the rest of it, and he is able to present all these images in a moment in the mind and impress them onto the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, to give him a view of the glory, of all the splendor that is out there in the Roman Empire, in Greek cities, in the Persian world. It says all the kingdoms. He's getting a view of this. And then the suggestion is, you know, all this glory, all this, it belongs to me. What a vile spirit Satan is. How full of pride this being is. It says, this all is under my authority. It's all under my control. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. He's boasting to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mine. And it can be yours if you will fall down and worship me. Oh, how many. How many in our midst tonight have had an offer? Someone has come and they have offered to you whatever it was. And it's been from the agency behind it has been Satan, because it caused you to falter in your walk with God, perhaps. Or if you're unsaved tonight, it's the reason that you're not saved, because you've laid hold of something that Satan has put before your eyes and granted to you and said, here's what you can have. Here's something to enjoy. Here's something to indulge yourself with. Get into the pleasures of this life. And you have laid hold upon it, the invitation of the devil. What a foul spirit. That he should come before the Lord of glory, that he should offer up this invitation, suggest to the eternal Son of God, oh, you can feel the contempt of the Holy One of God. You can hear it in his voice almost tonight as he says in the verse 8, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. Thou foul, thou filthy, depraved spirit. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Putting him in his place. Folks, tonight, don't be accepting the lie of Satan. Don't be accepting the invitations to those things, those pleasures that will last but for a season. But that is the way that the devil works. Playing upon that fallen nature of men and women. Yes, tonight it was a grueling test for the Lord Jesus. For 40 days and 40 nights, he set himself under the temptations of the devil. Secondly, his gracious tour. We're told in the verse 13 that when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And each and every one of us, we know times in our life when it seems that the devil's on our case, as we would say. Oh, there are things happening. There are troubles. There are trials. Things we have to face. And then we hit a lull. We hit a position where he seems to, it's all over. We've got the waters calmed, as it were, and we're going through, and everything seems to be quite calm. And here we have this case where Satan departs for a season and leaves the Lord to the side. It says that the Lord Jesus, he returned after this great victory over the wicked one. It says in the verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. As he had went in, of course, to the test, we're told that he was full of the Holy Ghost in the verse 1. And he returned, he remained. And let me tell you, believer tonight, that is the only way of success. An only way that we can battle through every day. It is walking in the Spirit. It is living in the Spirit. It will bring us in to those challenges and into those battles with the wicked one. Ah, but when we're in the Spirit, we'll have the strength and the power to overcome. Here we have him, returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. What a visitation. He comes to that region, into Galilee, where he is brought up. And they get a glimpse of the majesty of Messiah. This man who has lived and labored and learned in their midst is now revealed as the long-awaited Savior, Son of David, Son of God. Now, scriptures don't go into any detail about the work and life of the Lord Jesus as a carpenter, and how far his skills with the mallet, the saw, the chisel went, but his teaching and his healing ministry, well, it burst forth into the region. And as we go through the scriptures, you know the record of those who were led in the streets, reached out and touched his garment and were healed, those who were put through the roof of buildings, took the bed upon their heads and walked out. Those who were in a coffin on the way to the cemetery, and he touched the side of the coffin and they arose from the dead. All these things. What a gracious tour. What an incredible tour. I can imagine tonight, if I could put this before you. You go to Daisy Hill or the Craigavon Hospital, and let's say in our mind's eye that the Lord Jesus Christ had visited that 10 minutes before you've gone in a healing ministry like this, and he has gone through the accident and emergency, and he has healed those that are sitting waiting to see the surgeon and the doctor. He's went into ward 1 north and 1 south. There are people on ventilators and they are touched and the ventilator is thrown to the side and they're on their feet and they're on their mobile phone, if I'm talking about tonight, and they're texting the ones at home saying, come and pick me up. I've been healed. You can imagine. As people hear the rap on the door in Galilee, and someone who's been on a bed of sickness for years comes rapping the door, shouting, I've been healed. They've met with Jesus of Nazareth. What a gracious tour. Oh, my friend, tonight, the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what you, in the darkness of your sinful condition, if you're not saved, that is the only thing that can raise you out of that dark position and put you on your feet again and put you on your way to heaven. It is Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. It is his blood that was shed for sinners. And you must wash. You must be cleansed. You must have your sin dealt with if you ever wish to be in heaven. But don't you kid yourself. The whispers of Satan, you will not be in heaven if you have not been to Calvary and washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's no hope. You need to come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is able to deal with your sin. He is the only one who is able to set you free. And whatever it is that binds you tonight, he's the one who has the answer. If you are to place your faith and trust in him tonight, he can break Satan's power in your life. That's the testimony of people in this meeting tonight. It's my testimony, because there was a time in my life, even though I had been saved as a young boy at 8 years of age, but I ran away from the Lord, went out into the world, and got hooked. Hooked on alcohol, very especially. And there's many who thought, will he ever get out of that? Because my days were spent in drunkenness. It was a bleak time. But the Lord Jesus Christ was able to set me free. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I prayed after I'd come back to him, been restored, and I was having trouble with the old taste buds, wanting the alcohol. But as the Lord led me to prayer and fasting, that desire for alcohol was broken. As I walked past a pub in Bonbridge one day that I used to go and drink in, the cellar was open, and as the smell of the drink, the stale booze come up out of the cellar, it almost made me vomit. Something that I had desired and loved, and yet here it was. And I remember thinking to myself, I will never be in a house like that again. The Lord has taken the desire away. First time I ever felt sick at the smell of stale booze. Let me tell you, whatever it is that holds you tonight, whatever it is that Satan has convinced you that you can't let go of, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who will indeed break the power, who can indeed deliver you from the evil one and set you free. Oh, the gracious tour of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly and lastly, a glorious testimony. We find in the verse 16, the Lord Jesus comes to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, it says, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stands up for to read. It says in verse 17 that it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And if you've ever seen anything to do with the synagogues, they were brought out in scrolls. Still are today. Big, long writings, not like this book here. And so as he finds the place, we're told, where it is written, as he rolls out the scroll, the people are watching him. There he is, rolling it out, and he finds the place, and he begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He has sent me. He then closes the book, rolls it back up again, gives it to the minister. And it says the eyes of all in synagogue are fastened upon him. They're staring at him. And the thing goes right. Gracious word. They wondered, it says, at the gracious words that come out of his mouth. But they're saying, that's Joseph's son. Joseph's son. That's the boy who labored amongst us. Well, the carpenter. And then, of course, the Lord lays before him the truth. Ah, prophet is, he's without honor amongst his own people. Lays a few truths before them concerning Elijah. How Elijah, during that time of his ministry, goes to stay with a woman inside, outside the land of Israel. He's not kept by any Israelite. He's kept by a foreigner. Oh, that hits home. And then Elisha says there were loads of lepers in the land in the days of Elisha, but none of them was healed but Naaman, an outsider. Oh, the wrath of these people who felt they were the people of God. How dare he suggest such a thing? Oh, my friends, tonight, the glorious testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected by those in his own hometown, taking him out of the synagogue, going to throw him off. If any of you have done a tour of the Holy Lands, Nazareth is built on a very steep hill, and they're going to throw him off over the edge of it and finish him off, we're told. That's the response. That is the response of this people to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live in an age when people's response to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his invitation and to his lordship, well, it's an angry one, isn't it? We're living in a day when people don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about the forgiveness of sin. They want to hear about a God who just lets them do what they like, be whatever way they like, and then forgives those little quirks and things that they have and brings them into the kingdom at the end of life's journey. That's the lie of Satan. No. Except you repent, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall all in like manner perish. You've got to turn from your sin. The Lord Jesus makes his way to a synagogue after this experience in Capernaum, and there he meets a man who has an unclean devil, we're told. A demonic force. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ coming before this unpleasant character. And it says that as he enters into the synagogue, that the devil, speaking in a loud voice, shouts at the Lord Jesus, "Let us alone. Away. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Now, if you're looking at some of the testimonies on the phone there of street preachers, and they have people standing, screaming at them and shouting at them, "Get away. Leave us alone. Take your message somewhere else." Well, here it is happening in Nazareth. The inspiration is the devil in Nazareth. And let me tell you, the inspiration at those open airs is the same source. It's Satan. He's the one behind the person. He's the one energizing the person standing, screaming at the street preacher, to shut his mouth and to remove himself off the street. It's off the wicked one. Things haven't changed, have they? No. They still despise the Lord of glory. They still despise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight, as I just finish up this message, we would say to you, what is it that Satan has laid before you? What vision of pleasure is it that controls your life? What is it that keeps you firmly in his grasp? You've got to analyze this for yourself. You've got to be honest with yourself. What holds sway in the mind? What holds sway in your heart? What is it that you love that you can't give up? So that is the very thing that Satan is using to destroy your soul. And let me tell you, that's what he's about. He's a destroyer of souls. It's not your good that he intends. It's not to make you happy. As many would tell me, you're trying to spoil my fun. You're trying to take away any joy or any pleasure that I would have in this life. No, I say I'm not. I'm just trying to introduce you to the Lord of life and get you to see that your life can be turned round and to see that the things of God are indeed the pleasures. That lead to eternal joy. My friend, tonight, don't miss this opportunity. If you have heard the voice of God tonight, don't be missing this opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. People would tell me, my friends, they're going to hell. I have some friends who are already there, and they talk about, you know, silly old nonsense about partying in hell and all that garbage. But we just know from the scriptures there's no community of friends in hell. There are no family get-togethers in hell. There are no reunions of old boys' clubs or girls' clubs in hell. There are no meetings of the netball team in hell. There are no meetings of the basketball team in hell. There are no meetings of the football team in hell. There are no meetings of the motorbike racers in hell. No. Just anguish, distress, disturbance, miseries without end. No drug to soothe the pain. That's the reality of damnation. Go to Luke 16. And the testimony of the rich man is that Lazarus, please send him with just a drop of water on the tip of his finger that he might cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. My friends, tonight, I hope and pray that you will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope. And he is the one who has come to deal with the sin which is damning your soul. He is the one who can set you free. He is the only one who can cancel out the debt and bring you robed in his glorious garments that he's provided for you and bring you into a kingdom of joy and glory. forevermore. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts this evening. We'll just finish just a wee quick word of prayer, please. Gracious Lord, we thank thee for thy word. And no matter how poorly it may have been presented, yet we know it is thy truth. And we know that thy truth, Lord, well, it enters into hearts, even a word, just a sentence. Lord, we pray that that be the case. That some lost soul this evening, Lord, that thy word would lodge seed into good ground. And may it bear much fruit. May it bring them to eternal life. Take us all to our homes in safety. Bless us in the week that lies ahead. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.